voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Forgive me for everything I've done in the past, when everything was going so fast, and now I just can't go on. Forgive me for everything I've done in the light, for everything I've done in the night that I thought wasn't wrong. But I know that you are really loving, you are really caring. I can't realize, but you know that I will be better, that I will be stronger if you are by my side. Wrong in my life, and everything that wasn't right, going through life like a fool. Forgive me before the day comes when I die. I open up my eyes, now I'm trying to find, cause I've walked away, came back for you, don't take me away, to you, I'll never let you go. You're the one that makes me smile, and you know, Allah. Standing in front of the perfect
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. And welcome to another edition of the Mid-Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Today being the 27th of Sha'ban, 1446, corresponding to Wednesday, the 26th of February, 2025. We should still read the Masnoon Dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, keep us safe during the month of Sha'ban and let us see the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Ameen, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. You know, when you sit back and you think of the days, you know, you're growing up and the essence of Ramadan into the home and your family is getting together and the excitement that has been building up during the month of Ramadan. And as a child, you're thinking like, you know what, why did our parents stress so much with regards to the month of Ramadan? And as you get older, you realize that Ramadan is such a beautiful month. Shahr Ramadan unzila fihi al-Quran. Your soul, and it brings you back spiritually, brings you closer to Almighty Allah. You know, we must start reading the Quran more often, and it brings us closer to the Quran, and we understand the Quran more in a much more better detail, and it allows us to connect, and we realize that during the other 11 months of the year, it wasn't actually Shaytan that was, Shaitan does it, whisper in our ears. That's why they call it the waswasa, the whispers of Shaitan. But when we realize that all the small shayateen are locked up during the month of Ramadan, and many, many souls that are freed during this month of Jahannam, the gates of Jahannam are closed. And we realize that the actual problem is with us, within ourselves, because during the month of Ramadan, we cannot blame anybody. We cannot blame Shaitan. It is us who is to blame for the actions, because Ramadan gives us the opportunity and allows us to wake up for Fajr. You're supposed to read Salah, Fajr Salah with Jama'ah for the men. But it also gives us the time and allows us to get up for Tahajjud and read that extra Nafil Salat. And it shows that if we really put the initiative, if we really put our mind to it and say, you know what, today, and you know, when before you read your, finish your, before you go to sleep, and after your Isha Salah, you make that firm intention that, Ya Allah, today I'm going to wake up for Tahajjud Salah. Ya Allah, you make it possible for me. And to wake up for Tahajjud Salah, it is my invitation, because Almighty Allah wants you to get up and read, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala comes down to the earth, and He calls out to His servants and says, "Oh my banda, oh my servants, who is awake? Who wants from me? I am ready to give you." That's why they say that when a dua is made at Tahajjud, it is like an arrow that never misses his target. So we should take this opportunity, and we shouldn't throw this opportunity away during the month of Ramadan, because we don't know if we're going to see another Ramadan. We are not guaranteed another Ramadan. Many people we known that were with us a month ago, even few weeks ago, and we hear of the janazah that they passed away. Last year, they were preparing, they were saying that, you know what, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala must give me a long life so I can see the next year, next Ramadan. But little do we know, and life and death is in the hands of Almighty Allah. When a woman gives birth and she conceives a child, the doctors say that this is the estimated date that the child will be born. But with death, there's no written time, place, or date as to when a person is going to pass away. That's why we should always have a clean heart, because you'll never know when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will command Malak al-Maut to take your soul. And also, we just heard that Nasheed, forgive me. Forgiveness is such an important thing, because why do you want to go to bed with a heavy heart? Why do you want to go with a heavy heart with a grudge? That, you know what, this person did this here to me. Huh? What guarantee? Because when we go to sleep, it's like a form of death. Because our soul leaves our body. And many people, you hear of instances when they pass away. They pass away in their sleep. They were not guaranteed that they were going to wake up the next day. So we should take in consideration that when we have an argument, and I know, I speak for myself as well, now the month of Ramadan is coming, tempers are going to fly. You're going to get hungry, you're going to get agitated. But this is the time when we need to burn that desire, that nafs, that anger, and show what type of a Muslim we really are. Because Islam doesn't teach us that we should just throw hands and fight and say vulgar words, and then you say, oh, you know what, the Rosa got me. No, you can't blame the Rosa, because Rosa, the sweetest smell is that of a fasting person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the smell of a fasting person. So how can you blame the Rosa and say, no, because I was hungry, I had a headache, whenever I have my tea, whenever I have this, and find all these excuses, because why? You say you are hungry and then the Rosa got you. Such a Mubarak act is one of the five pillars of Islam. Fasting is one of the five pillars of Islam, and you want to go and blame the fasting and say, because you lost your temper, and you made your roza makruh, you blame it on a fast. Now, it doesn't make sense. That's why we should now try from now that if you have, some people have temper, some people know how to control their temper, some people don't find it that easy. But when you feel that you're getting angry, if you are sitting down, stand up. Walk away. Don't say anything out of turn. Even if the person is telling you all these nonsensical things, don't retaliate. Because if you're going to retaliate, that person is going to retaliate. It's going to be an issue on both sides. Both the parties, Rosa, is going to get makruh. Go and make wudu. Because when you make wudu, it extinguishes the wrath of Almighty Allah. And also you're protecting yourself. Go and read the Durood Sharif. Keep the tongue moist in the zikr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub." Verily, the zikr, the remembrance of Almighty Allah brings contentment to the heart. So inshallah, for myself first, because I'm speaking and it comes to my ear first, that inshallah we're going to try this Ramadan, that if we had any issues, you know, last year we might have had an issue with somebody and the issues got resolved after that. But let us not go towards that issue this Ramadan. You know, we know what incident that happened in your life, for example, not speaking to anyone in particular, but I'm just speaking in general, that if you knew that you had an issue with somebody and you knew this was going to happen, work on it. You know what is going to irritate you, what is going to get you upset. Rather work on it. We got about 4 days, three, 4 days, all depending on the sighting of the moon. If they see the moon on Friday, then inshallah, Saturday will be the first Roza. If not, we will have 30 days in Sha'ban, and Sunday will be the first of Ramadan, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. So you know what problem you had when you get angry and when you are fasting? Read the dua, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. And there's another dua when you are getting angry, when you are fasting. Inshallah, we will send out the dua tomorrow when one is angry, what dua one should read, and inshallah we can work on that there. So the numbers that you can send, if you have any inspirational quotes for Ramadan, if you want to send any Ramadan message, then you can send it through on the numbers 0847863132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84786 3132. You know, I got so into this topic, into this discussion with regards to how to control one's anger. We even forgot to phone our brother Alpha, that he gives us the rundown for what his show is going to be at from 12 to 12:55. So inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break whilst we get our brother Alpha on air. But inshallah, let's listen to this nasheed.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Faasilo ko takalluf hai hum se agar hum bhi bebas nahi be sahara nahi khud unhi ko pukarenge hum dur se raaste mein agar paav thak jayenge hum madine mein tanha nikal jayenge.
Something just came to my mind now. There's been a lot of rain in the KZN area, and there's been images and videos that have been circulating on social media with regards to the flooding in the KZN, especially in the Durban region. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. And there's a masnoon dua that one should read when it's raining very heavily. One should read the dua, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. O Allah, let it rain around us and not on top of us. And that was the dua of when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua when it was heavy, when there was a heavy downfall, a downpour in Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua. 20 minutes past 10 Central African time, and we have my brother Alphas Nkosi on the line. Alphas, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Sule. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Alphas?
Oh, man. All good, man.
I was just telling the listeners that there's been such a heavy downfall in the KZN area. Now, I know with regards to in politics, the majority ruling party is the ANC in the KZN area. Has Brother Alphas heard anything with regards to them going out and assisting the people of the flooding?
So, you know what? Coincidentally, I've reached out to the authorities in KZN, especially COCTA, that they've been taking stock. We this is not the first time. Funds were dispersed. That the people need to be assisted. It's not the first time, really. And we know that government has spent some funds to assist those affected. So I've reached out to COCTA and say, look, you taking stock, and is it a matter of, guys, you know when it's rainy days, can't there be precautionary measures put in place instead of being reactionary? Because every now and then, when it's flooding, we're bombarded with media statements. No, we're looking at, we're on high alert. You cannot be saying that you're on high alert. Why isn't it there a plan to deal with this? I'm not going to talk about drainage system. This is a natural disaster, really. So I want to hear from COCTA, what is it that they are really doing? You know, besides politics, this is a natural disaster. In their heart of hearts, what is it that they're doing to help the people? I mean, we all know that politicians, when comes election times, they'll flock into KZN to canvass and campaign and all that. Do you really care about the people's votes, but when they are in distress, you put up media statements? How is it helping these people? It isn't. It isn't really. It's shocking. It's annoying. But hey, we can do what we do in these platforms, spreading the message and try to pinpoint some of the weaknesses and where government lacks. But it's a very sad state of affairs.
No, definitely, Brother Alphas. With regards to the show from 12 to 12:55, who do we have on today?
You're a bit faint, sorry, I can't hear you. You're a bit faint.
I say, with regards to our show, from 12 to 12:55, who do we have on air between those hours? Which guests?
We're going to open up about homeschooling. The popularity of homeschooling. Are people aware of homeschooling? Is it now a norm that we're going to live with? We'll explore that, homeschooling. And of course, then we're going to look at disasters in KZN, and still in KZN, there's been reports of police and gangs fighting, police killing. We'll explore that as well, in a sense that we wake up in the morning, we know that so many people have been killed. There's been shootout against the police. So we'll speak to a journalist from ENCA who's covering all these stories. We just going to check with him. How is he doing it? And how is he getting this breaking news? And on the field, what really happens? Why is it that there's so lawlessness whereby criminals think that they can just take guns and shoot at the police? So that's what we're looking at on the show this afternoon.
Thank you so much for your time, Brother Alphas. And I would like to hear with regards to, like you mentioned, when it comes time for voting and to campaigning, the promises that the politicians make, but once they get that vote, where are they? You know, and at times like this year, where are they? They're supposed to be there for the people.
Exactly. You know, because I mean, we don't. You can't operate in isolation, especially as law enforcement. You know, planning is much important in this country. There's intelligence. What's the role of intelligence? I think I would like to tap on that as well. In terms of what's the role of intelligence in this country when such things do happen, atrocities like this do happen.
No, definitely, Brother Alphas. Thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure speaking to you. And we'll catch up at 12 p.m.
Thank you very much, Shuli.
Pleasure, sir. Man. Take care. And that was Brother Alphas Nkosi, and he will be having a few guests. And also with regards to the campaigning of when it comes time to vote, and he's going to dissect the when the politicians want votes and they campaign in various towns. And you know, we've heard that, you know, people say that, you know what, you know, they promised this year, they promised that day, but now when the people are in need, it's the people's votes that created that the governing parties. And now when the people are in dire need, now where are they? But that's a topic for another day, and my brother Alphas will cover that there. We're going to go for a short break, and when we return, we're going to be listening to Mufti Mangera, and he's going to be discussing the power of Ayatul Kursi. You know, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab always says, you know, AK-255 is the best and most powerful protection you can ever have. You leave your house, and I always say this whenever I come on air, that one should read the du'as, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. Surah Yusuf, verse 64, Wallahu khairun hafidhu wa huwa arhamar rahimin. Ayatul Kursi, you know, we must read these Mastun du'as, and now that Ramadan is coming in very, very soon, we should try and also learn all these Mastun du'as. You know, there was a kitab that Mufti Saab sent out on his groups, Fazail Ramadan, and one should have a look at that there. You know, sometimes we can't have access to the hard copy, so Mufti Saab made it easy for all of us. It is on a digital copy. So inshallah, we're going to send it out again, inshallah, for those that never receive it. And so let's go for a small break. And when we come back, we will be listening to Mufti Mangera, and he will be discussing the power of Ayatul Kursi.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.
Ya man yara. من يرى مثل البعوض جناحها في ظلمة الليل البهيم الأليل يرى ملاح عروقها في نحرها والمخ من تلك العظام النحلي يا من يرى مد البعوض جناحها في ظلمة الليل المهيب الأليم يا من يرى ويرى من والمخ من تلك العظام النحلي
ويرى قرير الدم في أودادها متنقلا من مفصل في مفصلي أمن علي بتربة تمحو بها ما كان مني في الزمان الأول
يا من يرى يا من يرى
ما كان مني في الزمان الأول يا من يرى يا من يرى
كان مني في الزمان الأول
يا من يرى ويرى أصول غذى الجنين ببطنها.
You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
29 minutes to 11 Central African time. If you have any messages that you would like to send us, you can send it through on the numbers 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. So inshallah, let's listen to Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera, and he will be discussing the power of Ayatul Kursi.
العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, إمام ابن كثير, who is one of the greatest and most well known of the commentators of the Quran, he mentions regarding one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah itself has many, many virtues. It's considered to be one of, such a surah that anybody who recites it, then nobody should be able to overcome them. That's why what people should do, especially if they fear in their homes or in their lives, in their persons, if they feel that there's some kind of evil influence or evil eye or something like that, then they should keep a constant recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah is the longest surah in the Quran, so it's not easy to recite every day. So what you do is just recite 10 verses a day. So every day, take the Surah Al-Baqarah and recite 10 verses each day, and within, you know, several days, you'll eventually finish it. So when you finish it, you've done Surah Al-Baqarah, and that will be a constant, inshallah, state of protection. Now within that, there's a verse which is Ayatul Kursi, which is the throne verse, the Kursi verse, the throne verse. So for example, there's a Sahih hadith related by Imam Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him. Now Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu was a scholar of the Quran, just like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu was. Ubay radiyallahu anhu was a good reciter of the Quran as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَيُّ آيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمُ, which is the mightiest verse in the Quran. All the verses are mighty, they're all the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be mighty, but which is the mightiest verse in terms of what it speaks about? See, every verse in the Quran is the same in terms of being the kalam of Allah and the speech of Allah. But in terms of its content, Ayatul Kursi is subhanallah. You know, it's very, very mighty. But Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, Allah knows best and His Messenger knows best. So the Prophet kept asking him this question, which is it, which is it, which is it? So finally he said, Ayatul Kursi, the throne verse. So then the Prophet praised him. He said, may your knowledge be blessed for you by the one in whose hand is my soul. Ayatul Kursi has a tongue and two lips by which it glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the foot of the arsh. Essentially, you can consider these smart objects. And today you have smart objects that think and do things and speak and so on. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this Ayatul Kursi will do this for you. It glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith related by Imam Muslim. Thereafter that, there's a famous hadith many of you may have heard that shows you what is the benefit of this particular verse. It's one verse, it's a very long verse. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, ma dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'iznihi. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. What makes this the mightiest verse? What gives it this supreme content? What is it? What's going on in this verse? Well, let's first have this hadith from Imam Bukhari. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports this hadith where he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me a job, which was that in Ramadan, the zakat that would be collected, I had to look after it. Remember, he lived at the back of the masjid, so there was probably a room or something there that this zakat collection was made, right? And he said, you have to look after it. So one day at night, I suddenly see a person there, and he's grabbing some of the food product. Because those days, you gave zakat in the form of wheat and barley and, you know, those kind of things, dates and other things like that. It wasn't all cash, right? Like nowadays, it's exclusively cash, right? So he started taking some food from there, some of the grain and other things from this. I said, I'm going to report you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is this? So the person pleaded. He said, let me go. Let me go. I'm in big need. And I have lots of family. I have lots of children. And we are in dire straits. And I need some of this food, right? I need to take some of this food. So I let him go. I felt a bit sorry for him. I let him go. He's a needy person. This is zakat money. Maybe he's in need. So in the morning, I went to the Prophet. The Prophet said, Abu Hurairah, you know that prisoner of yours at night? What happened with him? I didn't say anything to him. He just knew. So then I explained to me, Ya Rasulullah, he complained of this intense need. So then I felt a bit sorry for him. I had mercy on him and I let him go. So the Prophet said something really interesting. He said, he lied to you. He's a liar. But he's going to come back. So now Abu Hurairah knows that everything the Prophet says is true. So he says, I knew that he was going to come back, so I'm waiting for him. And again, shortly there again, he sees him and he says, I'm going to report you this time to the Prophet. And again, he pleads. He says, leave me alone. I'm really, really in need. I've got lots and lots of family and I won't come back. Let me go this time. I won't come back. Again, I had mercy on him, Abu Hurairah says, and I let him go. In the morning, again, the Prophet says, what happened with your prisoner? Your night prisoner, what happened with him? So Abu Hurairah explained again that he had complained of all of this need and everything, so I let him go. So he says, yes, he's a liar, but he's going to come back again. So this is the third day, the third night rather. And again, he sees this man who's trying to take from some of this storage, this food. You're understanding, right? Yeah. And again, I said, this time I'm going to report you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the last of the, you know, this is the third time that you're doing this, and you keep claiming that you're not going to come back, but you keep returning. What is going on? So he says, this time he had another card under his in his sleeve. He said, another card. You know what I mean? He said, let me go, and I'll teach you some words. I'll teach you a formula, a very, very powerful formula which will benefit you. Which will benefit you. I said, okay, fine, what is it? Now, Abu Hurairah is a student. Right? He's a student, and they're always avidly seeking for something new. So he says, okay, what is this? What is this that you're going to teach me? Well, not here. So he says, okay, well, at night time when you go to sleep and you go to your bed, recite Ayatul Kursi. Recite Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will remain a special protection for you. Allah will create for you and appoint for you a special protection for you. And no shaitan will be able to come to you until the morning. So no shaitan will be able to come to you until morning. Abu Hurairah found this very valuable, so he let him go. Right? You always get somebody by what they're interested in. And this is exactly what's happening here. So he says again in the morning, the Prophet ﷺ said to me, what happened with your prisoner? I said, Ya Rasulullah, he claimed that he was going to teach me, that he's got some really valuable words, this formula, which is going to benefit me. So he taught me them, so I let him go. So what are they? What did he teach you, the Prophet ﷺ asked? He said, you know, when you go to your bed to sleep, then recite Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, and Allah is going to appoint a protector for you, and shaitan will not be able to come close to you until morning time. And you know, I love to study, right? They love to study. You know, these were the students. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, he did tell you the truth. This time, he's told you the truth, but he's a liar. He's a big liar. Kadhub, he's a big liar. Do you know who you've been speaking to all this time? Do you know who this prisoner was? Do you know who that man was? For 3 nights, Abu Hurairah, he said, that was the shaitan. That was the shaitan who came. And this is really interesting that shaitan gets away with it by teaching this idea that if you want to be protected from me, and that's what you do. I've got a friend who studied a lot. He's looked quite read deeply into witchcraft and everything. And I've not seen this myself. He's mentioned certain books. I've never been able to go and check them myself. But what he says is that even these books written by non-Muslims, experts on witchcraft, people who practiced it, know about it. So there's only one thing which can actually protect you from the devil, protect you from the jinn. And that is this formula that the Muslims have, the Ayatul Kursi. Again, I've not something that I've been able to verify directly myself. My friend who's done a lot of research in this, that's what he's mentioned. But this is Ayatul Kursi. We know, I mean, from our hadith and so on. What is the secret of this Ayatul Kursi? What's so special about it? To be honest, when you read it, it's awesome. Because it's talking about some of the mightiest characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That define who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every characteristic defines Allah. Of Allah, the 99 names of Allah and other names, they define who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But if you look in here, it's a collection of some of the mightiest names, right? That are the fundamental characteristics, but that explain who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So let's look at a few of them. Firstly, Allah. Allahu la ilaha. Allah, the name Allah is amazing. It is the proper name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the most powerful name. Suffice it to say that it's such a name that even if people say it without any kind of concentration or attention, there's a benefit to it. Just saying Allah, 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 there's a benefit to it. You know, however you take that name. So that is the most comprehensive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most comprehensive name. Number two, Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy meaning the living one. And the living of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a living like none of us. It's a never-ending life. It's a constant life and a full life that never shows any weakness. Our life, we're sometimes weak, we're sometimes tired, we're sometimes sleeping. Or if we're not sleeping, we're slumbering. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's life is always full, complete, absolute. Al-Hayy. That's very important for that. You know, without life, knowledge doesn't benefit. Somebody's got knowledge, a scholar who's passed away, life is gone, where's that knowledge gone? So life is one of the fundamental attributes in anyone. Then Allah says, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Qayyum, this is again another one of the mightiest attributes which refer to, you'll see people are kind of always wondering how to translate this, but the one translation of it, Al-Qayyum, is the self-subsisting. Another one is, the better translation that I like to do is the one who is takes care of everything and who everyone needs for their survival. So every object in the world, human beings, any other creation of Allah, they can't survive on their own because they have no intrinsic life of their own. They need life to come from someone, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the sole provider of everyone in that sense. So He's the one who takes care of everyone. He doesn't need anyone. Everybody needs Him. So He's self-subsisting and the one who is independent of everyone else and who provides for everyone, everybody is dependent on Him. So the one who's independent, but everybody else is dependent on Him. That's Qayyum. It's a very powerful name. So we say, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. I'm not doing a tafsir of this. I'm just giving you the main aspects. Then At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Aliyul Azeem, Ali, the highest. Now, high here doesn't mean physically above someone else. Oh, he's higher up. Because sometimes you could put somebody higher up and they'll be lower. They are subordinate to you. Highness here refers to being over everything, overwhelming everything, having the might, vanquishing and dominating everything. So he is the one who dominates everything. Everything is under him. And everything is under his control. So he's Al-Ali and he's Al-Azim, the majestic one. The Azim, the mighty, the majestic. Azam, Azama. That word in itself, Al-Azama, which essentially refers to a might, a grandeur, a superiority, right? A supremeness. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the supreme being. He possesses all the attributes of might as well. So now we understand why this is the one of the mightiest verses in terms of its content of what it includes, the asma and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the oneness, the divine being, the knowledge of Allah. It speaks about the knowledge of Allah. That I forgot to mention that. It also has the mention of the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dominion of Allah, the power of Allah. These are some of the mightiest names. This is all what this has. Now, I'm going to mention to you one last hadith. What are we going to do with this verse? So one is you can read it as part of Surah Al-Baqarah. But the other one is this. After every salat. Right? There's a hadith that Imam Ahmad has related from Asma bint Yazid ibn Sakan, who says that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that there's two verses in the Quran. Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. And the other one is the beginning of Surah Ali Imran. Arif la mim Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. Allahu la. That's just Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. Nazzal alayka al-kitab al-haqqi. This ayatul kursi. In both of them is the ismullah al-a'zam. In them is the great. Somewhere in there is the great name of Allah. The mighty name of Allah. What is the mighty name of Allah? The mighty name of Allah is that it's such a name of Allah. And scholars are different about which one that is. Most I would say is Allah. But it's Al-Hayyul Qayyum is another opinion. That's in there as well. Right? So he says that it contains Ismullah Al-A'zam. And that is such a name that if you call Allah by it, your du'as will be accepted. Right? We'll have to have a whole session on trying to understand what exactly the Ismullah Al-A'zam is and so on at another time. But the final thing is that if we should make... There's a hadith which says that if you recite it after every salat, then you get paradise. There are two things that talk about receiving paradise and protection from the hellfire. So paradise. One is Ayatul Kursi, and the other one is 10 times Suratul Ikhlas after every prayer. And to be honest, it takes about a minute and a half, or even a minute. Ayatul Kursi. And Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْهُ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. That's like 3 seconds. 10 times that. Just make a habit after every prayer to do that. And inshaAllah, that will give us, inshaAllah, paradise as well. And that is Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is something, alhamdulillah, there's been a tradition for children to learn. Right, and that's some of the first verse that verses that we teach our children. And we should continue to do that. We should continue to read it. If we're reading this every day, then we're declaring the greatness of Allah. The greatness of Allah will enter our heart as well. And that will be inshallah the benefit of it as well. The point of a lecture is to...
And that was the advices given by Mufti Yusuf Mangira. There's many hadith, especially the specific hadith or the narration where Shaitan Iblis himself came to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And he told him and he taught him Ayatul Kursi. And imagine Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed one, taught Abu Huraira radiallahu an Ayatul Kursi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed that he had spoken the truth. Sadaqallah, he had spoken the truth that Ayatul Kursi is and will protect you. So imagine if Iblis himself told Abu Huraira radiallahu an that Ayatul Kursi will protect you. Imagine what it can do for us if we have that faith and yaqeen in Almighty Allah that it will protect us. It is a word of the kalam of Allah. It is in the Quran, Ayatul Kursi, ayat number 255. And also, one who reads the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi bi rabbihi wal mu'minun until the end, then Allah Ta'ala will protect them, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will protect them, will be under divine protection. Let me give you the rundown for the program that are to follow, inshallah. So, from 11 to 12 will be the bliss of marriage with Mufti Abdul Qadir Sensab, and Mulana Zayed Khan. Mulana isn't feeling well today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete shifa kamila ajila, give him a speedy recovery. He's here with us, but Mulana is not that vibrant Mulana that we see in the morning. Normally Mulana will come and ask, Sulaiman, how's it? How are you doing? You okay? You know? But today, not even once. Astaghfirullah. Not even once. You know, that will tell you alone that Mulana is not Mulana today. But we ask the listeners that whatever is troubling Mulana, Allah Ta'ala make it easy, grant you complete shifa kamila ajila with afya, inshallah. Ameen. So that's the program from 11 to 12, the bliss of marriage. 12 to 1 will be the news hour with the brother Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf. And today's starting point is verse number 32. 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Baqarah. Verses 1:30 to 1:34. 2 to 3 will be lunch break with the brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3:45 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:45 to 4 will be the Nasiha by Mufti Maulana Musa Akudi. 4 to 5 will be a lecture, Urdu lecture, Quran, the Book of Guidance by Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi Rahmatullah Alayh. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir we'll hear from 5 past 1 to 1:30. 7:30 to 8 will be the Nasiha by Maulana Dawood Sirat. 8 to 10 will be the medical files with the brother Alameen Templeton, and his guest is Muhammad Badat, who is a social worker, and he'll be talking about all things related to substance abuse and how to deal with addiction. 9 to 10 will be the repeat of the bliss of marriage. 10 to 11 will be the repeat of today's news hour with brother Alpha Sinkosi. 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed rahmatullah alayh. So that is your lineup from 11 to 11, alhamdulillah. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Monday, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.